Holy. Holy is a word that in our culture and in our context and in our society, it's often maybe seen as a negative word, something that maybe you are not. For instance, we use words like, she is oh so holy, or terms like, well, they're the holy ones over there. He's a holy Joe, or we talk sometimes about holy huddles. Perhaps this morning, holy, being holy might seem like it is a negative word to you. Perhaps it also seems a word or a term or a concept that is so far away from who you are this morning. You might not feel holy. In fact, maybe you might feel messy. Your life might not seem like it's holy to you right now. It might seem more like you're a failure. And this morning, I want to remind you of who you are and who you can be in Christ. I'm going to show a clip of a video to help us focus our minds on who we are called to be. It is actually the first ever film that I cried at. I'm not too scared to admit that as a bloke. There haven't been that many, I have to say, but this was one that got me big time. And if you didn't cry when you watched this film, then you're a hard-hearted person. So I was 8, by the way. But anyway, here we go, and then I'll explain why in a minute.
So forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please. Don't leave me. Father. Don't leave me.
Remember who you are. It's also quite a freaky clip, that as well. I sort of think, why did I watch that as a kid? Because I only hear, remember. And I probably went to bed thinking about those words or that voice. But you see, that's a crucial scene in the film. Because Simba has walked his own way. He's walked away from who he was meant to be. And he gets reminded by the picture of his father and the words of his father, who whisper in a slightly freaky voice, but whisper these words to him. You have forgotten who you are. You are not what you once were. Please remember who you are. Perhaps this morning we are like Simba, because we too have forgotten who we are. Maybe in the circle of life, in the madness of life, in the rush of family, home, church, and work, we have forgotten who we are. And we haven't just forgotten who we are, but we've forgotten who our Father is. And the call, the status update, as it were, throughout this passage this morning, throughout 1 Peter chapter 1, is a reminder that you are holy, that you are there to be set apart, and you are not a failure, you're not a mess, you're not a hopeless case, but you are holy. Peter is reminding the readers of his letter who they are, and most importantly, who their father is. And this morning, I just want to draw two distinctions, I guess, or two observations about holiness that can be seen through this passage. First of all, we'll look at how holiness is about being rather than doing, and also holiness is because rather than so that. That might seem cryptic, but we'll get to it in a moment or two. First of all, being rather than doing, but just as he who called you is holy, so, keyword, be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy again, because I am holy. The call in these verses, the call in verses 15 and 16, is not to go and do lots of holy stuff, but the call is to be holy. You see, the problem with this is that me and you get defined by what we do, don't we? You meet someone down the street, at the shops, out socially. You meet someone and you say, hi, I'm Rick, and I'm a youth worker. Hi, I'm Derek, and I'm a lawyer. I'm Carol, and I'm the bank manager. I'm Mary, and I'm his wife. I'm a brother. She's a mom. They are an elder. You're a youth leader. You see, we're all doers. We just do stuff, and then we talk to people about what we do, and we very rarely talk about what we are. Maybe it's the same for us as a church as well. People say, well, tell me about Carnmoney Presbyterian Church. And you're like, well, I'll tell you what we do. We run this, and we have this, and this is on a weeknight, and this is on during the day, and this is the stuff that we do. But who are you? Who are you? Can I remind you this morning that we are human beings, not human doings? You are a human being, not a human doing. You are more than what you do. And when it comes to holiness, things are absolutely no different. Perhaps we've been tricked into thinking that holiness is something you do. Holiness is far too often viewed as an action, as something that can be achieved if we try hard enough. We've been fooled into thinking that holiness can be achieved maybe even if we don't do certain things. For example, the heritage of our country, we've grown up thinking that holiness might be defined by some things that you don't do, or some places that you don't go, or even not even going on a swing on a Sunday. We've gone along with society thinking that if we do certain holy things, then we'll be okay. I'll be holy if I go to church this week. Or perhaps if I pray to God, then I'll be more holy. Or if I give money to the poor, then I'm going to be more holy. Peter is saying this morning that he wants us to not just do holy things, but to be holy. Perhaps even in church, holiness is often thought about by actions. I'm holy because I'm a youth leader. I'm holy because I'm an elder. I'm holy because I'm here every single week. I'm holy because I've got a slot at I-56 or in the prayer ministry team. We are not defined by our actions. And so this morning, I don't want to ask you if you do holy things, if you're involved in holy stuff. I want you to think, and I want to ask you, and I want to ask deep within myself, are you holy? Am I holy? Because if holiness is something that we are, not something that we do, then how do we receive it? This is part of the key verse. One of the key verses of our Foreigners series. And this is I've just taken the second half of it this morning. Live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. And as I looked at this passage, as I thought about it this week, I wondered if the word fear was actually a key word in holiness. You see, perhaps in the church, we've lost sight of this word fear. We talk about friendship with God so much, and that's so important, and that's so true. But perhaps in talking about friendship with God, we've lost sight of the fact that actually, time and time and time again within these scriptures, when people saw God, heard God, met with God, they were met with fear in their lives. Because this is a holy God. He is holy. He doesn't just do some holy things now and again, but his character is holy. His being is altogether different. His nature is set apart. His heart is pure. His actions are perfect. And when we see people in this book who meet with him, some afterwards couldn't speak. Some couldn't look. Some couldn't even see. And many fell face down in his presence. At which I kind of want to ask, how holy do you have to be? How holy a God do you have to be that causes people to fall face down when they look in your face? You see, this God is the Lion and the Lamb. He's a sinless friend of sinners. He's the creator of the world, yet he's the uncreated one. He's the all-powerful one who became weak. He's the high and mighty one who stooped so low. He is not like anything else you know. We talk about going to an awesome movie or reading a great book or seeing some class TV show or going to the best football match. He is not like anything else you know. This is a truly awesome God. He is pure. He is perfection. He is beauty. He is brightness. He is light. He is massive, yet he is personal. He is high above, yet he is close beside. This God is holy, and he's not like anything else you know. And it's this holiness this standard, if you like, that we are called to. This is the nature that we need to aspire to. Not some puny little prayer, not some miserly gift in a plate, not even an hour's service given grudgingly to the church every week. Instead, we should aspire to this nature of holiness, this purity, this perfection that we can see only in Him. Holiness is about being holy rather than doing holy stuff. And we'll come on and maybe think about a wee bit more of that as we go towards the end. But holiness is also because, not so that. That might look like a strange sentence in front of us right now, but I think that we might know a wee bit about this. For instance, I can remember on many occasions growing up doing the dishes for my mum. You might think I'm a model child as I tell you that, but probably the reason I was doing those dishes were anything but being a model child. Because I can remember on many occasions trying to do the dishes desperately for mum because I knew that there was a punishment coming up that I had to tell her about from school, or else because I wanted something from them. You see, so often I did the dishes for mum so that I might get something from her, so that I might get a reward, or so that she might look on me and not punish me as much as I maybe deserved. I did those dishes so that, rather than because of the love that she had for me. Perhaps even the husbands among us might know all about buying some flowers when we're arriving late home from work so that we might be treated nicer rather than because, but that wouldn't be me, of course. I think we all know what it's like to do something so that rather than because. You see, imagine a son. Imagine a son who's been distant from his father. He might decide one day to go out and cut the grass to try and please his father, to somehow try and get into his good books by doing something good for him. But imagine the difference of that same son realizing the love and the affection that that father has for him and deciding, because of that great love, because of that love that he has given to me, I want to please him. Because of the love that he's given to me, I want to do something in response to that love. And so because of what you've done for me, Dad, because of who you've been to me throughout my life, I'm going to cut that grass, I'm going to do the dishes, and I'm going to buy you flowers. Oh, sorry, wrong analogy. But, you know, I'm going to do something for you because of your love. We are to be holy because. We're to be holy because. Because he is holy, because of what he's given to us, because of what he's poured into our lives, because of the extravagant love that he has given to us, because of who he is, because of his perfection, because of his beauty, because of his holiness, then we want to be holy because of that. We don't try, perhaps we could fool ourselves into thinking that this passage is just telling us, just be holy, just go out and be holy and don't worry what you do. But I'm so glad that this morning we're looking at the last three verses. We've tacked on the first three verses of chapter 2, because that shows us, that gives us the model for, or one of the models for how we are to be holy, for how we are to act, for how this should affect our actions. Because the whole thing about being a foreigner, the whole thing about this series is that actually if we are to look like this God, then we are going to look so different to the rest of the world. If we will look like this God, then it's going to affect our actions. It's going to affect our giving. It's going to change how we view the world. And I'm so glad of the blueprint that we receive in the first three verses of chapter 2 to catch a glimpse of what this might look like in your life. Therefore, or because, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvations, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Because, or therefore, get rid of the malice. Therefore, or because, remove the deceit. Therefore, shun the hypocrisy. Therefore, walk away from the envy. Because of who he is, stop the slander. And how do we do this? Do we just stop it? Is it easy? Do we just say, well, we'll leave that behind us and move on? Is it an easy thing? Is this an easy thing that Peter is calling you to, us to? Just stop the gossiping, just like that. Just remove the swearing from your life, just like that. Stop looking at the porn or remove the hold of alcohol. Is it like that? Verse 2 and 3 have the solution for us. Don't just stop these things, but crave spiritual milk. Taste that the Lord is good. You see, that's the answer. That's the blueprint if we want to be holy. To remove the hold of some of the stuff that so easily fills our lives. To remove that hold, we just don't want to shut it away. But we want to shut it away by having our attention and our eyes and our gaze fixed firmly elsewhere. Having our attention fixed in something greater. Having our gaze fixed and set on someone purer and someone more holy. I can remember going to a conference whenever I was a student, and I went to America, and I was interested in going to America just as much as the conference, but I went there for a week with some friends, and I can remember being in a seminar, and as a student, I can remember battling things in my life at that time, battling things in my life that I didn't want to do, but I found myself doing. Battling with struggles and things that had a hold in my life that I knew I didn't want to be there, and God certainly didn't want to be there. And I went to a seminar, and the guy speaking, I can still remember the phrase that he used. He said this, he says, if you want to be a more holy person, he says, it's not good enough just to give up habits. He said, if you're wanting to give up a habit or something, an addiction in your life, don't just give it up, but replace it with something holy. Replace it with something holy. And for me, I think that's what Peter is saying here. Replace these things like slander, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy. Replace them with something holy. Crave that spiritual milk. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So don't just stop whatever habit that is, but replace it. Replace it with something good and wholesome and true. Replace it by, as Peter says in verse 13 of chapter 1, setting your hope on the grace given to you. Replace it by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Replace it by setting your mind on Christ. And replace it because God has already done that, not so that your standing with him might increase or improve. And this morning as we close, the call isn't to try to be more holy. We're not leaving this church going, oh, I might try to be a better Christian. The call is to become like God and to become addicted to Jesus, so addicted to Jesus that actually the pull of unholy actions or activities or attitudes might decrease in the light of who he is. And yeah, that might mean some difficult choices along the way. This might mean that our life should begin to look different as we start to stand out as foreigners. You know, none of us are immune to this. All of us have attitudes that need to change. But perhaps the bigger challenge this morning is, how much do we love God? How much do we fix our eyes on Jesus? Let me finish with this image and this story. As I grew up, this was a man that I loved watching run races on TV. And this is a picture of him, Linford Christie, running the Olympic final of the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. And the reason I loved watching Linford Christie is because of the start line, of how they were in the start line. So the camera pans along at the start, and there's eight athletes. And you get to the first athlete, and he's just happy to be there. And he's like waving at the crowd and going, this is amazing. And then the second guy, he's like jumping up and down and, you know, doing all his exercises. And the third guy, well, he's probably the cool American, so he's like, you know, pointing at the crowd and doing all his cool things. And then you get to Linford Christie and all these other people maybe sizing up the opposition, looking at the crowd, taking in their surroundings. And then you get to Christie. And just as I love his eyes in that photo, because his eyes were almost always like that when he raced. Just his eyes bulging. And his eyes fixed on the finish line, not looking to the left or to the right, completely focused because he knew that that was his goal. He knew what the prize that awaited him at the end of his race. I want to call you to that fixed gaze this morning. I want to invite you to be so focused on Jesus that anything else in your life, any habit, anything else that you might seem to be so attractive to, falls into insignificance in the light of who he is, in the light of the one who your gaze is fixed upon, because he is better. He is greater. He is more perfect. He is more brilliant. He is more full of light and goodness and beauty than we could even imagine anything that this world has to offer. So be holy because. Be holy because of who you're looking at and who your gaze can be fixed upon in Jesus. Fix your gaze on the finish line and focus on Jesus.